This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello, I'm Chris Stafford. On the show this week, Marilyn Payne will be here to give us advice on how to get the very best out of our dressage test. And we'll also hear from Julie Congleton, who recently judged the Charles Owen Technical Merit Award. But first, a reminder that it's just 2 weeks to go now to the American Eventing Championships, presented by Neutrina, which will be held at the Tryon International Equestrian Center in Mill Spring, North Carolina again. And there is a chance to sign up as a USEA eventing volunteer by going to the website at useventing.com and looking for the AEC volunteer sign-up page. Or you can contact the volunteer coordinator directly. That's Catherine McMahon, and her email address is kmcmahon@tryon.com. That's Catherine McMahon at kmcmahon@tryon.com. And you can find a link to the AECs on the homepage of our website at useventing.com. And whilst you're on the website, be sure to check out the list of new and newly promoted USEF eventing officials. That's on the website at useventing.com, and you'll find a link on the front page. I'm joined now by Marilyn Payne, who is a judge, competitor, and organizer, and she's going to give us advice on how to get the very best out of our dressage test. Where would you begin with this, Marilyn? And first of all, welcome back. It's good to have you back on the program.
Oh, thanks, Chris. It's great to be here again. Where would I start? That's a good question. At A? No. I guess the first thing I would say to people is make sure you learn your test. Now, that seems pretty simple. But what you really should do is read the test very carefully. And practice the test not only on your horse but on other horses. Or if you don't have another horse, I mean, a lot of when we were kids, we used to do it on the living room floor and set up markers. so you know the test inside and out. I mean, you have to just know it. You don't want to be sitting there thinking about, oh, where do I go? I turn here, I turn there. You want to be thinking about riding the horse, and that's the biggest problem, is that you're trying to remember the test and you don't ride the horse, and you've got to be riding the horse to get a good ride. And the one thing, especially with event horses, is they anticipate and they try to do what you want them to do. And they know, oh, a canter's in the corner and I stop here, and they try to do it right. And what we have to do is not practice it exactly the way it is in the test. You ride the pattern. But what I would do is sometimes not halt at the same letter, or not halt at all, or do a trot walk transition. And where the canter departs are, sometimes don't do it in that corner. Very rarely do it there, unless you need the horse to anticipate, and do it somewhere else so that they're not thinking ahead. And that comes especially with the walk to trot. When you're walking and you pick up the reins, the horse is like, oh, what are we going to do now? And it's best then instead pick up the reins and halt, or pick up the reins and do a turn on the haunches or a turn on the forehand or a leg yield or something else, and then pick up the trot in a little bit different place. So that's the first thing I would say. The next would be to make sure you ride accurately. And everybody knows that too, but you know, that's how Michael Young wins all the time. I mean, the German riders are so precise and accurate. And you lose half points. Now that we have half points, you might lose a half point here, a half point there. And with 24 movements, that's 12 points. So you want to be sure to ride your 20-meter circles, your 15-meter circles, very accurately. And what we do is put cones out and mark it so riders get used to what it feels like. And because sometimes you think you're doing the right size and you're not. It's also good to have eyes on the ground, have somebody watching you. And then the next thing would be to make sure you use your corners, because you've got to make corners your friends. And most people just use the corners as, okay, it's rest time now. And what are we going to do next? Oh, we're going to do a circle at B or whatever. And you don't ride the corners. And one, it makes it look much more neat and tidy. But more important is you use the corners to help prepare the horse for the next movement and to make corrections. So if your horse is a little behind the leg or wanting to run on, you either half halt or you get, you know, you put your leg on and say, come on, let's get moving. You do the corrections in the corner because the corners aren't really being judged. I mean, it's not a big part of the judge's score. So you want to use those corners to help you prepare for the next movements and to make your horse better. The other is to make sure you know when your movements start and finish. And that if you look at the test sheet, it'll say, you know, B, circle 20 meters, but then the movement may continue all the way to A. And now if your horse shies or breaks or whatever between the circle that you did and A, then that's part of the score. So don't forget to keep riding through the entire movement. And many times what happens is horses that will make a mistake. Like you may be on a circle and they might break, and you make sure you correct that very, very quickly, or in a medium trot or a lengthening, or even in the free walk in a little jig, correct it right away and ride them and get them back to where they really should be, because the movement's not over and you can save the score. You may not get a high score, but you're not going to get a four necessarily just because the horse misses a beat, a step or two. So never give up. Keep riding every step of the way. And that is very important, especially at the lower levels where the riders get on the wrong lead. So you pick up the canter in the corner and they take the wrong lead. And sometimes they don't notice it, but a lot of times the riders know they're on the wrong lead and they're like, oh gosh, I'm on the wrong lead. Oh, what should I do? And by the time you fix it, you're into the next movement. So now you've got a low score for the canter part, and now it's going to affect the score of the circle. So be sure to correct it right away.
Well, that prompts me, Marilyn, if I may, because I was going to ask you about when things come really undone. And if you're not very experienced and maybe you're riding at the lower levels and that horse just comes completely undone and misbehaves, and it is just as embarrassing as it can be in the arena for that to happen, and you might kind of lose your way, become disoriented in a sense that you know this just is not going according to plan, and it is about composing yourself as a rider and say, okay, we've got to get back on track, but you might lose your way. Do you have any tools in your toolbox to help riders recompose themselves when things do go rather badly and you know, you just don't know what to do in the heat of the moment to get things back on track?
Well, that's a good question. And I think the one thing is to get back on track in your own mind. And so a lot of times you should just walk. I mean, you've already blown the movement. You already have a low score in that box. So within the same box, walk. Walk, take a few steps, take a deep breath, you know, let the horse settle, and then start up again. Because even if you've got a lower score than you would have in that box, now the horse is composed, you're composed, and you can now get better scores as you proceed forward. The one thing you don't want to do is circle if you can. Sometimes horses get disobedient. And try not to put a circle in. Don't think, oh, I'm going to circle and regroup. Because if you do a circle, that is an error of course. And so you'll get a minus two. If you just walked trying to recompose and get things back on track, that is not an error. So it's good to know not to just start circling and think, okay, I'm going to get the horse paying attention. The big thing is that when you ride a test, you want to ride like you're riding at home or even riding in the warm-up. Do you know how many riders say, oh my gosh, my horse was so fabulous in warm-up, you know, and I would have won the warm-up. And the problem is there's a couple of problems. One is that sometimes the horses get distracted when they get away from the other horses. But more often than not is as a rider, you're thinking, okay, you know, you get a little more tense and nervous yourself, and horses are so sensitive and they start to react to your tension. And even if you don't get tense, sometimes you just sit there more like, okay, I'm going to just look like everything is lovely and the horse is going great. And you're not riding the horse like you would in the warm-up. So if the horse gets behind your leg, you're sort of thinking, well, okay, come on, come on. But you're not really getting after him to keep going. And it's better, and a judge can see this. A judge can see, say, if the horse is behind your leg and the rider's like trying to coax him along and it's not working. And the judge would much rather have the rider give them a little tap with the whip or give them a little kick or spur to say, hey, wake up, get going. And then even if the horse jumps forward a little bit, the next movements afterwards are going to be better. So you've got to ride the horse exactly like you would if you were training. And don't worry that, oh, I don't want the judge to see me use my legs or give a half halt or, you know, tap him with the whip, because the judge is begging you. You want to give good scores, and you're thinking, oh, come on, he needs to be more forward. Come on, please use the whip, give him a tap. So don't be afraid. You know, the judges are on your side, and they've all been there and done that. So they know what the feeling is. So you've just got to go in there and ride exactly like you're training.
The other point I was going to ask was about downward transitions as well, and them falling behind.
Oh, that the horse gets behind your leg in the downward transition.
Yes, and in part as part right. of this, his anticipation of what we're doing next month.
Right. They either think they're going to halt at X, or, okay, we're going to walk, and they think, okay, walk. Oh, and they just die, and they just don't
right.
seem coming
right.
forward. And every down transition should be a forward transition. Every transition should be forward, but a down transition, you want to see the horse come back to the walk and march forward. And so many times, you're right, you know, the horse either anticipates and thinks, oh, good rest time, or the rider's like, oh, thank God we're walking, we can rest now. And they just let the horse get behind their leg. So it affects that score, and it's also going to affect the future scores, because the horse now is not really in front of your leg. No, that's a good point. In fact, in the 4-star test that we designed last year, with the flying change, I'm sure you've seen it with the diagonal with the flying change at the end, there are many riders that never, ever practice that flying change. They practice medium on a diagonal canter walk, or medium on the diagonal counter canter. So when the horse has gotten the test, they didn't expect a flying change, because that's so hard with those horses when they know a change is coming, especially the hot, tense horses. So it really does work very well to do that.
So to practice riding through, riding forward on the downward transitions, especially if your horse is not in the right place mentally, and you want to settle him, so you think, oh, we're coming downward transitions, I'll just let him try and relax. And then that split second,
right.
he can start to come behind. Similarly with your hot horse on that flying change, right? You want to keep, you know that he gets hot and he's going to maybe go up and, you know, and it's not going to ride through as you hoped. So you change your game plan to fit that moment of your own anticipation of it instead of riding through it. Am I correct there?
Right. Absolutely. And you can't anticipate yourself. When you know a canter departs coming, you should not think, okay, I got to get ready for the canter, because the horse feels that. So instead, you just keep giving the horse your aids for the walk and say, okay, we're walking, we're doing a nice marching walk. Oh, and by the way, we're going to canter. You know, you can't think about it too much, because then they think about it. And you're so right, the down transitions, you've got to keep the horse forward. And when you come to the walk, not only do we want them to stay in front of your leg, but like you said, the tense horses, if you sit there and think, okay, I'm not going to move, I don't want to move, because he's going to get upset, they're going to get tighter and tighter. And you're much better off to keep your leg on them and move them, and even move them a little bit in a shoulder four, a little bit off your right leg, a little bit off your left leg, to keep them moving and thinking, okay, what are we going to do now? Instead of them feeling your tension also and thinking, oh, what are we going to do next? Instead, you want them listening to you every step of the way. And I tell my students this all the time, that horses, they have a very simple mind. They can only think of one thing at a time, not like we can. And so you want that to be you. And if you sit there and let them start to, their mind start to wander, then you get in trouble. So you've got to keep their focus the whole time.
And that, just to go back to that moment when you've won the warm-up, you're going into the arena, you're riding around the arena, and the horse changes everything for you as you're riding around the outside. Any tips there, Marilyn, to calm things down again?
Yeah, I think a lot of people come around the arena and the same thing. They come around petting the horse, which I'm not against petting the horse, but they're just like, okay, stay quiet. It's okay. It's okay. And instead of getting on and just saying, come on, okay, this is what we're doing, you know, and you ride them forward. And if it's a horse that's very tense like that, that might lose it, I would do a shoulder in. I do, let's leg yield to the right. Let's leg yield to the left. Let's, you know, keep doing different things. Let's do a little mini serpentine down the long side. You know, you can do whatever you want in there, and you've got to go in there and do what you need to do. And if you have a horse that's a little sluggish, then I do, okay, let's do a little lengthening. Let's come back. Let's move off my right leg, left leg. Oh, let's do a little canter. A lot of times counter canter really helps because it gets the horse more balanced and they're starting to focus on you. So you've got to go around that outside of the ring using your time very effectively. There's not that much time. So get in there as soon as you can and go forward and confident, you know, past the judge. And if the horse is a little spooky, sure, let them look at the judge, but I wouldn't stand there and look so much. I'd just trot around, go circle around the box, go past it, do a half turn, come back past it again. Just keep saying, come on, we're going to, and not here's the box. Instead, we're going past the box, but here we're going to do a little leg yield. We're going to do a little shoulder in. Oh, we're going to do a canter depart. Get them tuned into you, even though they're distracted by that.
This is not a training moment, we have to remember. This you can do at home. You can stand in front of the judge's box. But once you get into that arena, it's all about keeping them switched on, isn't it, and occupied and
yeah.
With you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then as soon as you start the test, the first thing you're doing is your center line and your halt. And you want to come into that ring very confident. Very forward and confident. You want to come down that center line as straight as you can and really just keep coming forward. Of course, we know we have to halt in a lot of tests we have to halt. And you've got to halt and just stand there. Try not to rush your salute. Try not to go in there and just quick salute and move off. Now, if your horse is ready to move, if he's ready to run on, and you're going to lose it, then of course, just halt and salute and move forward and pretend that that was your idea, not the horse's idea. You know, you've got to try and play the game.
always make out it's your idea, right? And then don't forget to smile at the judges.
Always smile at the judges. Always go in there with a confident look like, wait, here, judge, you know, just look. Wait, can't wait until you see this test. This is going to be really good. But it really is good to come in with a positive attitude. And then when you do your salute, you can salute with either hand. Some people don't realize that. It doesn't matter if you salute with the right or the left. So either hand is fine to salute. And it's best, do not salute with the whip. Okay? Don't salute with the whip. Because, one, it looks sloppy, but two, horses may get afraid of that. You know, if you take your hand off the reins and move the whip, they may think that you're going to use it. So you've got to be sure to try and do everything you can to not distract the horse.
So leave that to the jumpers.
Yeah, leave that. Okay. So the other big thing in the test that people always lose points on, many times lose or gain points, is the walk. And the walk is times two. That means if you get a 7, you're going to get a 14. Or if you get a 4, you're going to get an 8, which is going to make a big difference. And also, at the end of the test, when the judge is deciding on collectives, there are many times that the judges will go back and look at the walk score to see what they gave if they're a little bit indecisive about what score to give the gates. So hopefully you had a good score there, and then that will improve your score on the gates. But just like I said before, with the walk, you've got to ride confidently forward. You want that horse marching forward and really using himself. You want to see him really swinging in his back and reaching for the contact. Now, there's a difference between the medium walk and the free walk, and the biggest difference is the length of rein that the horses stretch forward and down in the free walk. And many times people do the free walk and then they pick the reins up, and the medium walk is still part of that score, and you pick up the reins and you shorten the strides, and you don't want to shorten the strides. You want to just bring the horse together into a shorter connection. Because if you shorten the strides, one, a lot of times the horses then start to jig. But two, the judge is still judging what the quality of the walk is, which is the medium walk. And that may take your free walk score down a half a point or a point if the medium walk is not good. So it's important, as I said before, to make sure when you know the movements start and end. But always riding positively forward in every movement.
Some great advice there, Marilyn, and some wonderful tips to help our riders here improve their dressage test. Go in calm and collected, as well as the horse being calm and collected, you need to be as well. But that's always good advice, Marilyn. Thank you so much indeed for taking the time to come on the program again. Always good to catch up with you.
Oh, you're welcome. One final thing I just want to say, because we have a final halt. When you do the final halt, again, don't rush it. And you want to have that pleasant expression on your face, like, boy, this was the best test this horse has ever done. And it may have been the best test the horse has ever done. It may not be a winning ride, but it's the best test, because the judge has not done those collective marks at the end of the test. So you've got to remember that they still have four more scores to give. So you want to leave them with a good impression that, hey, this wasn't such a bad test after all. So always end positively.
Wonderful advice. Well, thank you very much indeed, Marilyn.
Okay, great to talk to you.
The Charles Owen Technical Merit Award was established in 2009 by the USCA Professional Horsemen's Council to encourage safe and appropriate cross-country riding technique. The award is presented at a series of events throughout the year at the training level to one junior rider and one adult amateur rider who demonstrate technique on cross-country for a list of criteria, including gallop, preparation, execution of jump, rider position, and general impressions. And the winners at each event receive a Charles Owen body protector and helmet bag, and year-end high point winners will receive a Charles Owen helmet. Cobblestone Farms Horse Trials in Dexter, Michigan, which is in Area 8, is one of 10 events around the country that's participating in the 2017 Charles Owen Technical Merit Award Series. The Junior Award this year went to Gracie Elliott, and the Adult Amateur Award was received by Olivia Green. And Julie Congleton was the judge of this leg of the series. Julie, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me, Chris.
As a judge, what was your understanding of what you were looking for there?
My understanding is that I was supposed to judge their general understanding of preparation and balance to the jumps. And what I did is I put myself on course at a jump where it was going to be obvious to me that they would have to do some preparation and balancing and changing their gallop a little bit. And it was nice because I got to see them come off of a combination. And then I was at the trochaner, which is like a hanging fence with a ditch underneath it. And so I got to see their preparation period, their actual jumping, and then their gallop off. And I got to see several fences afterwards. And then they went around out of my sight and came back into the field to finish. So I got to see if my general impression of them at the fence that I was giving them a numerical score would have either been higher or lower based on them having, been able to jump a few fences and get in the rhythm. So, and for the most part, my scores would have stayed absolutely the same if I had picked a fence at the end. So, you know, it was good for me to watch it and, you know, feel very comfortable with my assessment of their ability on cross country.
Just remind us, Julie, what level you were judging.
I was judging the training level, and it is like of moderate difficulty. They're just starting to ask some questions. They have to, you know, jump several combinations. They have to do a water jump where they either have to jump down into water and jump something in the water or going out of the water. And they have to kind of deal with fences with some terrain. And so, you know, it was nice to see that, you know, that they chose cobblestone because they offer all of that. You know, they have, you know, enough fences set in the terrain to where there is a little bit of level of difficulty. And they used to run the Area 8 Championships. So, you know, some of their fences were kind of difficult. So it was nice to see that that level was a true test. I mean, that course was a true test for that level. So,
a little bit of everything there. Let's just look at the criteria for judging this technical merit award. As we said, it's based really on the technicality and to promote safe riding on cross country. And there are things like the gallop and the preparation that you mentioned, Julie, and the actual execution of the jump, as well as, of course, the rider position and then overall your general impressions. But let's take that into a little bit more detail, Julie. When you look at the gallop, as you mentioned, there's varying degrees of terrain there at Cobblestone, so it was a good example for you. Just talk a little specifically uh-huh. about the kind of things you were looking for in that gallop.
Okay, like, you know, the most important thing to me was, you know, to be able to see a rider go from what, you know, like, you know, they're kind of cruising in between fences is, you know, the gallop is a little bit longer. And when you're coming to a fence, what you want to do is maintain the power in the gallop, but you want to see people kind of try to get their horses' front ends a little bit more up and raise the horse's eye a little bit. So you want to see the riders kind of balance the horse's back a little. Not necessarily take the step away if they've got a good gallop, but you want to see them kind of balance up to the fence. And with the trochaner, which is a lot of times a rider question, is you get to see, you know, people sometimes over-prepare or they think they have to run at it, you know, and go too fast, which is always disastrous. But, you know, that is, you know, being able to change the balance in the gallop is the most important thing for me. And, you know, when I was judging it, and because they came off of a combination and then they, you know, they had, you know, a little ways to go before they got to the trochaner. So some horses flat and some horses stayed the same in the same balance, you know, as they had during the combination. And some of them got a little behind the rider's legs, which is, so they were, you know, the riders took away from the gallop. And I think that was probably a little bit of, you know, a little bit of apprehension about the fence. But that's the most important thing to me is see them change the balance in the gallop.
And in the preparation period, the things that you're having to look for there will go through. But what do you consider that preparation period? How far away from the fence, Julie, are you looking at in terms of the boundary there for that preparation?
I think that it has a lot to do with the horse that you're riding. Like if you have a horse that's already kind of built a little bit up with its neck and its shoulders, it's, you know, you're going to have, and those horses are a little bit easier to gallop up. So those horses probably don't have to be, have as long of a preparation period because their mechanics allow them the ability to kind of be in a better balance to the fence. I personally like when I walk courses with my students, I'll say, now here's where your balancing zones. And you can pick a tree or you can pick, you know, like a fence beforehand. But, you know, probably at least, you know, between 20 and 15 strides ahead, you know, you want to have done something, you know, because if you're right on top of it and then you say, oh my gosh, I'm going too fast, then that's not really fair for the, you know, to the horse. Is you have to, you know, walk your course and decide based on your horse's conformation and its ability to gallop and your ability to balance the horse back. You got to kind of figure out where the balancing zone is for you and where you know that your horse will listen, because some horses get a big step going out there and you may have to have your preparation area be way thinner. So I think it varies with the rider's ability and the horse.
Okay, so we're talking there. In that preparation period, they have to demonstrate the change in balance appropriate for the type of obstacle, choice of line, of direction and approach, and the rider demonstrating the proper aids. And of course, as you point out, each partnership is individual, so that horse's responsiveness to the aids as it changes over the approach and, of course, the terrain and the weather, everything taken into account. So we get to the fence, Julie.
Right.
Execution of that mm-hmm. jump, there's some of the things that you were looking for there.
The big things were being able to go with the horse's jump, for one, not taking back at the fence, you know, like two strides out, being able to, like, you know, keep your body open over the top of the fence and not close your ankle too much, so it allows the horse to kind of use its front end better. And, you know, clearly to keep your line with your leg. I mean, land in your leg and land in your foot and stay in balance when you land. And, you know, those things are really important. But, you know, if you're in a good position when you're preparing, it really does help when you're over the top of the fence. And what I really liked, and I saw several horse and rider combinations that do this, is they open the angle of their body and they stayed in balance and stayed over the fence. And then they landed like they could have taken the fence, you know, three strides out and stayed in balance. So that was, you know, that was what I was for, is just, you know, staying in, you know, in balance with the position.
Okay. It all comes into play then, the execution of the jump and, of course, the rider position. And then you get a chance to comment on general impressions, Julie.
So I was lucky enough to be able to, judge everybody in the training division. I had every training division on dressage day. So it was kind of fun for me to see some of the horses that I thought might be good cross-country horses, because they were built a little bit more up or maybe a little bit better ridden. It was interesting for me and exciting to see those horses go around pretty well cross-country. And so, you know, that was, you know, part of my general impression. I wasn't really supposed to take what they had done the day before, but, you know, I did, remember some of the horses as they came by, so...
And did the riders know that they were being judged potentially for this Charles Owen Technical Merit Award?
I think they did. It was on the omnibus page and it was in their program. But I'm not sure they knew which one of us was going to be judging it. I mean, it didn't say in the program that, you know, Julie Congleton will be judging your technical merit. So, you know, it could have been any one of us. It could have been Debbie Bay. It could have been Janice Holmes. It could have been myself. So I think they probably did not. I think they probably thought there was probably somebody on course somewhere. But, you know, the ones that actually read the criteria, it was the amateurs and the juniors were the only ones that were judged for the Charles Owen Technical Merit.
And presumably they didn't know which fences you would be at anyway.
No, I could have been at fence number one, you know, or at the water where everybody is. So, no, they had no idea.
Right. And any final thoughts on this award, Julie, and the experience that you had with it?
I thought it was pretty exciting to do it. I had never done it. So, I mean, and if you had several horses in a row, you know, it was like, you know, like because I wanted to make sure that I gave everybody enough comment, and like was fair with the scores, you know, it It came up a little quickly at times. You know, you're like, you wanted to say more, and then you had your next rider. I think it's a good thing that they offer. It's another opportunity for people to be rewarded for doing their homework and being conscious of what they need to do on cross country as they move up the levels. I think it's a good thing. People love to be rewarded for their effort, and we all work really hard at trying to have our riding be as best as we can. So, you know, I was glad that they did it.
Well, certainly improves the safety of the riding. We always hope that, of course, will emerge out of this, as well as making them more technical riders. So, Julie, thank you very much indeed for doing that at Cobblestone Horse Trials, and thank you for taking the time to come on the program.
Well, thanks for having me, Chris.
And there are four more events left in the series this year. You can find more information about the award and those venues on the website at useventing.com. To find out when the latest episode of the podcast is available, be sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And you can, of course, download this podcast from the iTunes Podcast Store. It's completely free, and you can take it with you anywhere on your mobile device. I'll be back in 2 weeks' time for the next episode. Until then, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world, and enjoy your eventing.